We will be in John chapter 14, verses 27 through 31. You were already up. I figured I'd keep you up, but it was John 14, 27 through 31 on part number 6 of the armor of God. If you found that place in your Bible, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for those that are hurting, struggling, fighting, that you would give them peace. I pray for those that are wondering what the future holds and are worried, that you would give them peace. I pray for those that are afraid at night and don't know what the next day would bring, that you would give them peace. Lord, you have promised those things, and we believe in your word, and we believe that you keep your promises. So this morning, as we talk about the armor of God and the elements of it and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we would be prepared soldiers with the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time, what has happened thus far. Bless the remainder in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 13 to 15 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I grew up in a home where you wore shoes. You had your feet dressed. Now, there was a lot to do with this. I grew up in an old farmhouse. My mom and dad still live in the same house. Rock foundations under one part of the house, but no foundation under the kitchen part of the house. And I'll tell you what, in the wintertime, you didn't run around barefoot. You needed something on your feet. Those floors were cold, okay? On the other hand, outside in an old farm, there was always broken glass, old nails. The place was constantly under construction. The building that it is now does not in the least bit resemble what it was. And growing up, we always had a nail in our foot or something going on, even when we were wearing shoes. Many a times my mother has pulled nails out of my feet, and I wasn't happy about it. But that's just the tortured life that I grew up with. And I'm sure you all feel sorry for me, as Sherry's over here rolling her eyes. But the reality of it is that I grew up thinking everybody wore shoes. Now in these modern homes that we live, I'm not allowed to wear shoes in my house. I have to come in and take my shoes off at the door. And I come into people's homes where right on the front door it says, "Take off your shoes before you go." It's a common thing. On the other hand, when you leave the house or when you're out on the lawn or something, put something on your feet. This running around barefoot is not good. We have our kids running around with no shoes on, and then we wonder why they're running to the emergency room all the time because they got this cut or that problem or a splinter. Put some shoes on. That's gospel preaching. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, having said that, we're talking about the armor of God, and we know that we're the loins girt about with truth. Righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness that the Lord supplies us with. He declares us righteous at salvation. He fills us with his spirit. He gives us the ability to live a righteous life empowered by the Spirit of God, not the power that you and I have, but what he supplies us with when we trust him as our Savior. And then the next part of the armor of God is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you and I are wearing foot gear, shoes, prepared to go, not barefoot, not unready. I'll go to someone's home and they walk out, or if I came out of the house without my shoes on, my father saw me, oh my word, "Where's your shoes? You know, what are you doing? You don't have anything on." Well, you know what? We are to be prepared to go places with the message of Jesus Christ. And really what it's talking about is being ready, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the good news of peace. And I want you to know today that you and I have a message that the world needs, desperately needs. Peace, peace. The desire of all just conflict is peace. Peace that is something that is sought for in every life and every generation. Beauty contestants say they want it. Basketball players change their names to World Be Free. What are they saying? They want peace. What does a person want that is suffering from cancer and may die? They want peace. What is the man looking for as he holds a gun to his head and is going to kill himself? What is a couple looking for that fights all the time and never seems to get along anymore? What does the alcoholic want as he sits at the bar and has just one more drink before he goes home? They're looking for peace. And they can't seem to find it. God says there are those that do not have peace. Isaiah 57:21 says, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13 to 15. In Jeremiah, God is talking about the coming judgment to the nation of Israel. And he describes their behavior. And you'll notice if you look at the Old Testament how God judged Israel, and if you look at the United States today, there are many parallels to the nation of Israel, God's people, the Jews, and the United States of America, and I'd like to say God's people, the Christians. There are many parallels going on. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 to 15, I'll read it to you. The Bible says, "For the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." Do you think there's any covetousness going on in America? Envy? Wanting? Everybody's mad somebody else has something. It bothers me when you drive a nicer car than I do. I'll just admit that to you, you know? It ain't right, you know? But there are things, homes. I get to go into some of the nicest homes there are around, you know? They burn oil. If they don't, they should. And so you go into these places, and I'll tell you what, you got to be careful. I'd never let my wife go into some of the homes I see. No chance, you know? She'd leave me in a second. And there's just some really nice places out there. And it's something you need to be aware of. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not covet." You'll never be happy wishing for what somebody else has. If you're not content right now with what you have, and you're lying to yourself saying, "Boy, if I just had X, I know I'd be happy." No, if you're not happy right now, you never will be. Jeremiah chapter 6, "For the least of them, even the greatest of them, all of society is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even unto the priest, one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." That's interesting. They've helped them a little bit. They've slightly healed the family by saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. We're going around today with programs and things that are supposed to assuage your problems. Sign up for this. Get some of that. If you just had a little bit more money, and you know what? They're giving you just enough to almost make you content. But they want you to stay trapped in where you're at so they can control you. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. The sooner you get off the welfare programs and the government subsidies and the things that they're trying to control you with, the greater freedom you will have. We're smart enough, the game wardens will run around and tell you not to feed the deer in the wintertime. They're hungry, they're searching, they're working, they're trying to eat. And you want to help. It's natural. Don't. Because once they learn that they can get something for nothing, the deer will stay there and starve to death rather than work to get something else. Hello? You can make the application yourself. Peace, peace. They're saying peace, peace when there is no peace. And you know what? Some people would rather listen to a lie and feel better about themselves than be faced with the truth. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, what was going on is the prophets and the priests were telling the people what they wanted to hear so they'd feel good about themselves, knowing that judgment was coming to their country, knowing that judgment was coming to Israel. But that's not popular. Let's not say that. And they could walk away from the synagogue and their temples and all of the places where they went to worship, and they'd feel so good after they left because the priest and the pastor had told them, it's going to be okay, folks. Well, you know what? Living in sin, fooling around with evil, it's not going to be okay. And that's not popular. But that's what was going on. In Jeremiah chapter 6, it goes on to say, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Neither could they blush. They're no longer embarrassed. You know, it used to be times in America where if certain things went on, we'd want to crawl in a hole. Just so embarrassed. Boy, we don't try to hide our sins now. We brag about them. Neither could they blush. No shame. No peace. The King James Version Study Bible has a note in it that I'll read to you on page 1072. The false prophet's concept of peace was a far cry from the Old Testament's teaching. The underlying idea of the Hebrew root and all its associated words is that of a wholeness or completeness. Thus, to know true peace is both to attain personal fulfillment and to enjoy full, healthy relationships with others. Ultimately, true peace is found in God Himself. Someone said, peace is not the absence of danger. Peace is the presence of God. I'm going to say that one more time. Peace is not the absence of danger. Peace is the presence of God. A soldier's job ultimately is not to fight war, but to bring peace. That's a soldier's job. You and I, as we wear the armor of God, as we become the armor of God, as we take on the traits that the armor of God talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, we are dressing for war. We're dressing for battle. But our ultimate purpose isn't to pick a fight. I don't like to fight. I don't. I haven't been a knockdown drag out in a long time. But when I was, I didn't like it. Generally, even if you win the fight, there's pain involved. I don't like that. I don't like to hurt. I don't like to bleed. I don't even like to perspire, okay? And anything that requires any amount of energy at all, as the older I get, the quicker I break a sweat on. I don't like that, okay? So I don't enjoy the conflict, but we have to be ready for the battle. But our ultimate purpose in getting into a scrum, if you will, is to bring about peace. There is you and I. I mean, we are so spoiled here in America. Dr. Margaret Nicole will be here tonight, and she'll be talking about some of the struggles that she experienced as a young girl. Several of her family members died in the process. She said goodbye to loved ones. Some of them she didn't get to say goodbye to. All in confronting evil. In the Friends of Israel magazine that just came out, there is an organization raising money to put in portable bomb shelters. I just want to read you just an excerpt from the article. You watch the Middle East and the things that are going on there. And listen, you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You need to pray for Israel. I don't know about you, but as I see America starting to go into the toilet, my heart starts to drift more towards what's going on over there and more concerned for their safety, because it seems like America just doesn't care anymore. It breaks my heart. But while in Israel, the gentleman says, I visited Rabbi Samuel Bowman, executive director of Operation Life Shield. Don't forget that, Operation Life Shield. He told us as newer homes are built with safe rooms to provide shelter from an attack, older homes where most Israelis live have nothing. Now, I talked earlier about being in homes and coveting them. I've yet to walk into a really nice home or any home anywhere in the United States that has a built-in bomb shelter in it. Folks, this is normal in Israel. Can you imagine? Operation Life Shield shelters are made of precast concrete that can withstand the blow of a missile. They are delivered on flatbed trucks and take only a few minutes to set in place and become operable. They require no electrical service or hookup. When the sirens sound, Israelis in these communities have only seconds to find shelter from Arab rockets or missiles. Imagine living in one of these communities. You must be constantly aware of the location of the nearest shelter. I'm going to drive home today without the least, it won't even cross my mind that there could be an imminent rocket attack. This is how people live over there. And idiots in our State Department tell us they need to just get along with their neighbors. Peace cannot be appreciated without the knowledge of conflict. And I submit to you that the greatest conflict on the planet is not in the Middle East, it's not in Hitler's Germany or Stalin's Russia, but the ultimate conflict is in the heart of man, in finding peace with himself and with God Almighty. That's where the real struggle takes place. And I want you to know that a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care what your external circumstances are around you, if you have God in your heart and know that you're okay with him, you can have peace. Our assignment as soldiers is to be prepared with a message of peace, feet shod with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. I've been at the bedside of many dying people. I've been pastoring for a long time now. Part of the thing is someone will call or say, you know, so-and-so is in the hospital and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. And they're asking for a visit. And so you go and you sit there beside them, and if they're still able to communicate, you talk about things. And one of the things that I'll ask someone is, do you have any regrets? Now, I won't ask for hands this morning, but I bet you every one of us would say, yes, I have regrets. I know I do. You can't go back. But one thing, when you're making plans to leave this earth, you want to take care of business the best you can. And the only one that can settle things for you is God Almighty. And so as I talk to someone that knows they're getting ready to leave, and I'll say, do you have any regrets? And they say, yes, you do. And I'll say, when you leave this place, when you leave your last breath, when you breathe your last breath, are you positive you'll go to heaven? And a lot of times they'll say, no, I'm not. And so I'll talk to them about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And I'll never forget one man years ago, I talked to him. And I said to him, I said, would you be interested in praying and trusting Christ as your Savior? And he'll forgive your sins. He'll take care of your regrets. He said, oh, yes, I'd like to do that. And so I told him the prayer and I said, you repeat after me. And I said, you pray, Jesus, come into me. And tubes connected to his arms and all of the stuff connected to him. And that didn't hold him back. And he said, Jesus, come into me. And he's shaking his hands and he's pointing to his chest and the tubes are rattling around. He's saying, Jesus, come into me. He wanted peace. And I want you to know he found peace in Jesus Christ. And so then after he's done praying and he starts crying, and this is an older man dying of lung cancer. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to worry. It's taken care of. Jesus has it all. He said, no. He said, that's not why I'm crying. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, you don't understand. He said, I'll never be able to leave here and go and tell anybody about Jesus Christ. A transformation that only God gives peace. Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How about you? But after having said goodbye to some loved ones, and I've thought a lot about heaven. If you die in Christ, I know where you are. I know where the Diane Terrios of the world are. I know where the Lori Griffins are. I know where our loved ones are. If they knew Christ, I know they're there. And so I think about what are they doing. And more than that, I think about someday, Stan Griffin, you're going to stand before God Almighty. How's that going to go for you? And you read certain things and you read articles in the paper and folks will say, well, what do you think God's going to, what are you going to say to God when you, and they joke around what it's going to be like. And one guy says, well, I'll look at him and say, well, I guess you really are real. Ha ha ha. You know what? That ain't what you'll be saying. Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. See, you're going to believe Whether you believe on the other side of eternity or this side of eternity, and thank God at 4 years old I chose this side of eternity. Okay? I highly recommend that, because knowing the terror of the Lord will persuade men. And I'm not afraid to stand before God, but I'm afraid to stand before God. I'm not concerned whether he'll say, stand, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, because he does know me. That's not my fear. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be nervous. It's my creator. It's my Lord. What do I say? Nothing. I can remember when I was younger, I used to think, you know, when I see God, I got some questions for him. I've shared this with you before. How big was that deer that I missed when I was 14? I want to know that, you know? All these important things, you know? But the older I get now, I realize when I stand before God, if he says, is there anything you'd like to know? He'll know. No, I'm fine. There's no question I'll ask him, because you know he's done all things well. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'll tell you what, that's what you need to fear. Peace. Peace cannot be appreciated without the knowledge of conflict. And only complete honesty and repentance with God can peace be had. Luke chapter 18 talks about two guys that went up to pray. I love this story. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican, reading from Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. He comes up to the Lord and says, Lord, I want you to know how lucky you are to have me. How wonderful I am. What a great guy I am. I'm the pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church. I own Griffin Oil. I tithe. Folks know me. They like me. You should. Wouldn't that be something? Stand back. You know? Really. On the other hand, and believe it or not, there are people like that. On the other hand, there was the publican, who was supposed to be a hated individual in that society. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I want you to know that's complete honesty and repentance with God Almighty right there. Lord, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What's justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. There is no one in this room that is not a sinner. We all are. We were created in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We are all sinners. However, a relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I can be justified just as if we'd never sinned. God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ and we are perfect. I like that. But only if we're willing to admit who we truly are, worthless. But God gives us our value. Only complete honesty and repentance with God can peace be had. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, being justified by faith. How's it work, Stan? Here's how it is, right here. You realize there's a God in heaven that created you. I was in the doctor's this week. I go to doctors more as I get older. Did you ever notice that? I don't like that. In the doctor's office this week, and you have to go see specialists now. Used to be, there was a doctor. You go see the doctor. That doctor could do brain surgery or he could work on your toenail. He could do it all, you know? Now we have found that the body is somewhat complicated. Now if you have, I have a condition. I won't go into it. Don't worry, it's not catchy. If I shake your hand, you won't have, don't worry. Everybody's going to say, "Oh, stay away." But anyway, so now it doesn't matter what it is. You got to be referred to this specialist, and it takes you 120 days to get in to see the specialist. And then you go and see the specialist. They got all these charts and things on the wall and stuff. The nurse comes in and I said, "You know, the body is an incredible thing." And she said, "Yes, it is." And I said, that's why I don't believe in evolution. Amen. You cannot. I can't imagine anyone in the medical field that doesn't believe in God. This Not just me. I know I'm spectacular, but this body is, our body, it's incredible. The complex, folks, that didn't just happen. By faith. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to realize that there's a God in heaven that created us and put us here, and we are accountable to Him. If not for Him, you'd not have life, you'd not have anything.
That's right.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I recognize that He's there. It's not hard to figure out. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take my place and die on the cross for me. As the trio saying, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, you and I, when this old earth is long gone, you and I in heaven through Christ will still cling to the old rugged cross. We're going to be there for all eternity singing His praises. Folks, I don't want to miss that. Wherefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You're going to stand before Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, it's the faith that believes in that there is a God. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, took my place. Knowing that He took my place, I don't have to. See, God will never ask you to do something you can't do. And if you can't do it, He'll do it for you.
Amen.
That's a good deal. When I was young, I hated to mow the lawn. So I'd always tell Dad, I'd go out, I'd grab the lawnmower. We got all kinds of riding lawnmowers now. He bought them all after we left the house. But back then, you know, you'd go out there and you'd pull on the little 20-inch lawnmower, and you'd pull on that thing. And so I'd go out and I'd anemically pull one time. Oh, Daddy, it won't run. I can't mow the lawn, you know. You get out there and you mow that lawn. He encouraged me, you know. However, if it happened that I could not truly start the mower, He'd be nice enough to do it for me, okay? Just start it, not mow it, okay? I want you to know that there is no chance that God has asked anything of us. If we can't do it and we truly can't, God does it for us. And that is dying in your sins. God did that for us. We don't have to. Now I just say, therefore, if we will just trust Him, believe in Him, ask Him into our heart as our personal Savior, for the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you do? Someone said to me, tell this lady, a couple weeks ago, someone said to me as I was standing there, tell this lady what you have to do to get saved. I look at her, I said, nothing. Well, no, you can't just say that. And I said, why not? He said, well, you got to ask. That's true. You have to ask. You don't do anything, but you have to ask. I'm married to Emily Levitt, Emily Griffin now. Why? Because I asked. Never would have happened if I hadn't asked. You know? And I'll tell you what, if you want Christ in your heart, you have to ask. You don't have to do anything, but you have to ask. He's waiting, hoping. So like Emily, just hoping I'd ask. You know? God is hoping you'll ask. And when you do, He does for you what you can't do for yourself. Peace on earth will only be experienced, true peace on earth. You and I can have peace in our hearts, but peace on earth will only be experienced when Jesus Christ comes back. We sing a great Christmas song, but it's not really a Christmas song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, does He? Not yet, but He will. See, that's why it's not a Christmas song. Because He's not ruling the world with truth and grace yet, but He will. It makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Lori was dying of cancer, that was the verse she said over and over. My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When I was young, I had no fear. I'm not kidding. I was never afraid because I knew my dad could handle it. I, Isn't that the trust kids have in their fathers? I wasn't afraid. And dad was just so cocky and confident. You know, there was just, I'd say, "Dad, what happens if this happens?" "Don't worry, we can handle it." "Dad, what happens if somebody tries to break in?" "You see that gun right there? We can handle it." You know, we were prepared. Looking back on it, I realize there's a chance something could have happened in our home that we couldn't have handled, but God never allowed that. Now here I am as an adult. At times I'm afraid. But I know for a fact my Heavenly Father can handle it. I get tremendous peace from that. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Only you and I as soldiers of Jesus Christ have the message that an evil world needs. It's not guns. It's not bullets. It's the message of Jesus Christ. Let's look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning in your word. Thank you that we know for a fact that you can heal homes, heal families, heal troubled hearts. And it's not a medical situation, it's a spiritual situation. The folks that are afraid and they just need to put their trust in you. All through the Psalms, the psalmist talks about when I am afraid, because fear is a common thing. But we know that you can supply peace in the midst of the storm. And God, we ask for those things and remind us of those things. We don't have to run home to our bomb shelter today like some parts of the world do. But the enemy is attacking. We see trouble in our country. We're being lied to on so many fronts. And you are the only source of truth, and we hang on to that, and we get great peace and comfort from that. Lord, if there are those here this morning that have never said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior," I pray today would be the day when they would say those words. You're waiting for that invitation. Lord, help folks to have the faith to just say, "I believe. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and forgive my sins." That's the way we leave justified, just as if we'd never sinned.